Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. There used to be a consensus in politics that as many decisions as possible should be made by governments closest to the people. That gave local governments in North Carolina significant roles in key policy decisions affecting the people in their cities and towns. But the current General Assembly has taken some of that power away, especially to annex adjacent areas and keep cities thriving. Ellis Hankins, the longtime head of the North Carolina League of Municipalities, is stepping down from his post this year, and he joins us now to talk about how cities and towns in the state are faring in this new political environment and why education remains a priority for local officials. Well, Ellis, thank you very much for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
How are cities and towns in North Carolina doing? How would you assess how our local governments are?
Well, I think there's several groups of our cities, towns, in different circumstances. Our larger cities are all doing very well. There's been a wave of development, redevelopment, sound economic development, particularly in our downtown areas. Just look at Raleigh and Durham. Over the last decade or so, things are going well. They're financially strong. The story changes when you get out to some of our smaller towns in rural areas. They have real challenges. I accepted this job as executive director of the North Carolina League of Municipalities 17 years ago. When I did, I said to our board of directors, before a governor later said this, we have two North Carolinas, prosperous, thriving urban areas and really struggling rural areas, and if anything, that divide has gotten worse.
Are there two or three fundamental reasons why that has happened? How do you explain it?
Well, I mean, it's mostly economic reasons. I mean, obviously, some of those small towns, frankly, have lost their long time ago reason to exist. The economy has changed around them with nothing really so far to take the place of those old traditional industries. And the education system many times is not very good in those areas. In many of those areas, we've lost population. Remaining population has gotten older, less healthy, less well-educated. There are problems that no one in the state seems able or maybe willing to figure out what to do about.
I'm sure you've heard the argument that this is all just a trend in the way things work and natural, and there's not a lot we could do about it or even should do about it, and that it's understandable that a young person who graduates from college who lives in one of these towns would move to Charlotte or Raleigh or Asheville or Greensboro, and that we shouldn't be so alarmed as long as we take care of the folks who are still in those cities. Or is that something you think is true, or should we craft policies to sort of help resuscitate?
Well, we ought to do better. And my comments to our municipal membership last month at the very nice retirement dinner they had for me at our annual conference, I said to them that I hope they take this on as a challenge together as a group of municipal elected officials from larger cities and from this great cadre of medium-sized cities that we have in the state that they don't have in some other states. Those are in pretty good shape. And folks from the small towns, too, understand that we all have a stake in the health of all of our cities and towns. We're all in this together. The big cities need those smaller towns to be healthy. Folks in those rural areas certainly need thriving urban areas. We need to raise all the boats. And so I think we really do need to focus in a more serious way than we ever have on those rural areas, the smaller towns.
What do you make of the I don't know what the right word is, I won't say attack so much, but I guess that's a word we probably should use, that's happened in recent years on cities and towns and the things we saw in the last legislative session, taking authority away from local governments after hearing years that the best government is the government closest to the people?
I think when we went to the General Assembly in the old days, not that it was ever easy, it wasn't. We've always had challenges, but I think in not so long ago, we used to get more of the benefit of the doubt than we do now. And now the presumption seems to have been reversed that cities, in the viewpoint of some, are the problem. Well, they're not. If you look at the numbers, cities in this state, our cities and towns of all sizes, are 8% of our state's land area, but 79% of our jobs are in our cities. A huge proportion of the state government's tax revenues comes from within cities and towns. So that doesn't sound like a big problem to me. The workforce in our cities and towns is better educated than in the rural areas, and that's good and bad. We need to do better in those rural areas, as we talked about. The infrastructure is there in the urban areas. We've done a good job of managing our cities. They're not liabilities like they are in some other states. They're assets. They're strong, vital economic engines and assets to the rest of the state. So, I mean, if they're under attack, I don't see good reason for that.
If we were sitting here 10 years from now, what do you think the change in the annexation laws and eminent domain and those issues will have had on North Carolina?
Well, you know, we used to have in this state, in our view, the best, strongest, most fair municipal annexation statutes in the nation. And it went like this, with this wave of urban development around our cities and in our cities that we had in the last several decades. As those areas beside cities developed, it became urban in character, looked just like the areas already in the cities. Our cities could annex those areas under the law that used to be and provide city services out there. And everyone in the urban area helped pay their fair share. And that really contributed to keeping our cities financially strong. And it spread the cost of all those vital urban services in a very fair way. That's gone. The General Assembly took that away in 2011 and 2012. I hope we're not going to see a decline in our cities like certainly we've seen in some other states, South Carolina, Virginia, for example. You don't have to look very far. We're going to need more focused private investment in our cities, probably higher density, quality development that can be served and sustained. We'll see what happens. But we have lost something in this state that really was vital in keeping our cities strong and effective.
And finally, you mentioned earlier about when we were talking about some of the smaller town, cities and towns struggling, the education issue, and it's something that has been front and center in the sort of the political debate. I'm sure it will be a big issue in 2014 and as we go forward. How important is a strong public school system, and how worried are you that we may not have one?
Well, every one of our municipal elected officials certainly cares about the quality of public education in their communities. They are not directly responsible for the policy decisions or funding public education. That's mainly at the state level. Counties are responsible for school buildings and some other things, but municipalities are not directly responsible at all. But that's another one of the things clearly that is vital. Sound, effective public education in all of our communities, and that includes community colleges and the public university system. And if we don't keep those institutions strong and effective, we are certainly, our state and everyone who lives here is going to pay the price for that over the next couple of decades.
Finally, before I let you go, what's next?
For me, I'm going into semi-retirement. I'm doing some teaching at UNC Chapel Hill. I'm going to keep doing that, maybe at some other places. I'm going to do some consulting work, some local government work around the country. I'm going to find some ways to continue to make some meaningful contributions with volunteer work. So we'll see. Not going away.
Well, we'd love to have you back in some capacity. Thank you very much for all you've been doing, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.